Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Hello, I'm Mike. My birthing partner and I just got our new Lysnica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysnica Freedom microchip. SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their freedom microchip. I jumped on the Lysnica joint.
This freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee would insert it in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysnick track and trace your every move. You just need a freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysnick Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Proof Negative show here on Freedomizer Radio. I am your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer Radio. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Thursday. I'm hoping we have V as our co-host today. She's not here yet. I'm hoping for the best. We have a guest next hour. We have podcaster Jen Kunkel that is joining us next hour. And if you want to be a part of the show, the number here is 319-527-6208. Press lucky number one, and I'll bring up your call here. So right now, I am going to go over some clips that I missed over the week. So I want to make sure that everything that I grabbed was heard. So we'll do that for a little bit here, and we'll see where we go today. So let's check out. I got Russell Brand and Tucker Carlson. We're going to start with that and figure out what we're doing.
CNN is dead. Long live Tucker. But will CNN have a new ally in Fox News who want to bring Tucker down? Is this the end of the mainstream? Hello there, you 6.4 million awakening wonders. Thanks for joining me on this voyage to truth and freedom. If we continue to cultivate the inner light together, there is no limit to what we may achieve, as we are already seeing with these new emergent independent voices in the face of the dark forces of old media that want you dumb and distracted. And that's exactly why we need you to click the notification bell right now, so you know that every day we make this content and we want you to see it all. Join us on Rumble, where we make a one-hour show every day. That's tremendous fun. And if you need a laugh right now, and why wouldn't you with the world as crazy as it is, then have a laugh by clicking the link in the description and watching my stand-up special talking about the last 3 years and the incredible craziness. It'll put a smile on your face and inspire you to keep up the good fight, like Tucker has done over on Twitter. Who would have imagined that his first episode would have such inconceivably high viewing figures? Who would imagine that an alliance between Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson would prove to be potentially fatal for networks like CNN? Let's look in more detail. Fox News Wednesday notified Tucker Carlson's lawyers that the former primetime anchor violated his contract with the network when he launched his own Twitter show on Tuesday. A breach of contract claim sets Fox News up to explore potential legal action against Carlson, a move that would intensify the already thorny public battle between the two parties. The first episode of former Fox News host Tucker Carlson's new show on Twitter has had more than 100 million views in less than 2 days since its launch. He has since released another episode. So does Tucker's move signify the end of an epoch for cable news? Certainly, if CNN's apparent collapse is anything to go by, it does. Certainly, if Fox News' legal pursuit of Tucker is anything to go by, it does. Certainly, if your ongoing dissatisfaction and distrust of the mainstream media is anything to go by, it does. Let me know in the chat and the comments what you think about this story. And let's have a look at Tucker Carlson's first episode to see if he still has his finger on the pulse in spite of moving to a new platform.
So if you're wondering why our country seems so dysfunctional, this is a big part of the reason. Nobody knows what's happening. A small group of people control access to all relevant information, and the rest of us don't know. We're allowed to yap all we want about racism, but go ahead and talk about something that really matters and see what happens. If you keep it up, they'll make you be quiet. Trust us. The U.S. government has managed to classify more than a billion so-called public documents. So at this point, we can't possibly know what our leaders are doing. We're not allowed to know. By definition, that is not a democracy. Yet it's fine with the media. Secrecy is a powerful tool of control.
Tucker's point about secrecy is important. Who controls information necessarily has a great deal of power. We've long believed that the movements and changes in this space are as a result of our shared ability to collaborate on creating new narratives. You help us all the time with your posts in the comments, with the information you give us. When we've made mistakes with our takes on stories, you've helped to correct us. I would add to Tucker's comments on race that it's not enough to just dismiss those stories, but to recognize the significant truth that if we form new alliances if we refuse to bait one another, if we refuse to row on the subjects of identity and culture, then their tools of control are diminished. These ideas about the control of information and censorship and the newly emergent censorship industrial complex, which, by the way, I'll be talking about with Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi when they come to this country, we're going to have a host of specials on Rumble talking about exactly this subject, are important. For a long time, it's been argued that the state has a monopoly on violence. The state is able to be violent towards you, to incarcerate you, to control you. I know many of you that have strong views around firearms are essentially reaching towards the idea that why ought the state have the ability to inflict violence on you and you not have the right to defend yourself from the state? We know those are complex arguments and people have a variety of views, but this control of violence and this control of information could potentially break down if more and more independent voices start to dominate these type of spaces. That's why we are seeing the emergence of the censorship industrial complex, because the media, the state, big business are working cooperatively to prevent these new power structures, which are much more diffuse, shared, and collaborative, from emerging.
Stop asking how we got so rich. Here's another story about racism. Go eat each other. That's the program. That's how most of us now live here in the United States. Manipulated by lies, silenced by taboos. It is unhealthy and it's dehumanizing, and we're tired of it. As of today, we've come to Twitter, which we hope will be the shortwave radio under the blankets. We're told there are no gatekeepers here. If that turns out to be false, we'll leave. But in the meantime, we are grateful to be here. We'll be back with much more very soon.
So there you go. Whether you agree with Tucker Carlson or not, it's plain from the viewing figures that he is a powerful voice and that he's contributing to radical change in the way that media is consumed. It makes sense that Fox wants to curtail and even shut down that ability. Shortly after Carlson posted the first episode of his new show on Twitter Tuesday evening, Fox's news general counsel, Bernard Guga, sent a letter to Carlson's lawyer saying Carlson is in breach of his contract agreement. A source told Axios that Carlson was told by a senior Fox executive that the network's goal is to keep him sidelined until 2025. So Fox plainly understand that Tucker Carlson's voice is direct competition to their business. And with cable news evidently in a great deal of trouble, this conversation becomes vitally important, and you can see why they're leveraging legal means, because CNN are in a great deal of trouble, not least because of their decision to grant Donald Trump a platform on the now infamous town hall meeting, which garnered them their best viewing figures in a long time, but split their core audience because the mainstream media cannot accommodate nuance. This is why CNN are in trouble.
Well, Chris Licht is officially out at CNN. After a chaotic run as chairman and CEO, the network announced this morning that Licht is leaving immediately. He took over the job just about a year ago, but his time at CNN has been marked with a series of high-profile controversies and tanking ratings.
Let's learn a little bit about how cable news started and why it cannot cope with new emergent independent media voices without conspiring with the state to shut them down through censorship and smearing. And by God, we know a little about that personally. Under Licht's leadership, the cable news channel has seen ratings plummet, attracting fewer viewers than right-wing minnow Newsmax in May. Its newsroom was in open rebellion and staff morale was at rock bottom. The cable news era that Ted Turner launched is drawing to a close, and while all the cultural and political consequences of that fact consume public attention, this is also a story about the demise of one of media's great business models. The most troubling feature of Licht's 13-month reign was not his decision to interview Trump in front of an audience of jeering supporters. It was that CNN's average primetime audience fell to just 535,000 in the first quarter, down from 1.7 million in 2020. Shrinking audiences are not unique to CNN nor to the US. Pay TV audiences are getting smaller and older. This has been true for a while, but in commercial terms, it barely mattered. Through the magic of retransmission fees, in which distributors pay content owners to air their channels, revenues and profits held up. CNN's annual revenues doubled to $2 billion in the decade to the 2020 US election, and it made roughly $1 billion in profits every year of the Trump presidency, according to the New York Times. That tide has turned with revenues falling. With annual profits still a reported $750 million last year, the business is not falling off a cliff, but as CNN's parent company Warner Brothers' Wile E. Coyote could tell you, gravity exerts itself eventually. News and sports channels were supposed to be the features that persuaded viewers to keep their cable subscriptions, giving their owners negotiating power with distributors. But more more subscriptions are being cancelled and media owners have failed to replicate that model online or on streaming platforms. The old model has been so lucrative that cable news operators have had little incentive to establish themselves as big brands in digital news, allowing others from legacy newspapers to brash podcast hosts, hey, to take the lead. It may be too late for them to catch up now. When the first 24-hour channels launched, they filled a clear gap in the news market. Whatever leaked successors do, they are unlikely to repeat that trick. Journalistically, it's not the end of the world, but the end is in sight for a news media business model that will not be replaced by anything nearly as lucrative. Power structures across the board are beginning to implode and collapse, whether they are democratic institutions or apparently democratic institutions like the American government or the British government. You can feel that they are starting to quake under the weight of the ability to communicate immediately in nuanced ways and to house and frame a variety of voices because of the way that technology has changed. Media is already feeling the pinch. The inability to communicate nuanced information to a large audience, because now, if you're watching CNN, you're a CNN person. If you're watching Fox, you're a Fox person. And both of those organizations are housed by business models that will not ultimately allow power to move in the direction it threatens to, i.e. to become more decentralized and more diffuse. Both of those business models are ultimately part of conglomerates that have traditional, conventional relationships with state and corporate power upstream. Both of them are owned by organizations like Comcast or News International that have the type of affiliations and political partners that, whether they're on the blue side or the red side or the donkey side or the elephant side, will ultimately require the state to regulate and legislate in their favor to prevent new business models and new independent media voices emerging. Tucker Carlson, as we actually predicted, is the first to demonstrate how radical the change has become. Joe Rogan is the imprimatur, someone who emerged in this space and was able to withstand significant media attacks, notably around the horse paste scandal.
Do I have to sue CNN?
His ongoing willingness to house, in retrospect, valid voices during the coronavirus pandemic. Tucker Carlson is from conventional news media. Tucker Carlson is going on TV saying, I regret the way I reported the Iraq war. The way that old school media is funded means it can never be balanced and nuanced. Trust me, I know that these news channels are not reliable. I believe, and this is because of you, that what we're going to see now is a war between mainstream media supported by the state and independent voices supported by you that will mean that new alliances simply have to appear. That's why the thing I agree with most from Tucker Carlson's episode one is we have to put aside the arguing around cultural issues. Not that those issues aren't important. All of us are affected one way or another around value systems that coalesce around traditionalism or progressivism. But what we're going to need to find are new ideas around which to form alliances in order to support the emergent potential for conversations like this to continue, in spite of the fact that the state and the censorship industrial complex would like to shut this down. This is the space we exist in. We welcome you, whatever your previous political affiliations were, whatever media channels you used to watch. We want to ensure that your voice is heard, that you are part of the conversation. We want to ensure that independent voices continue to be housed. That means there will be new alliances. That means there will be new conversations. What's fascinating about this time is we're able to witness the establishment's attempts to maintain something that is dying. Whether it's conventional democracy isn't working anymore, is it? Whoever wins the next election, the other side are going to say it was a corrupt election. And in the media spaces, we're similarly going to see them desperately scrap to maintain their territory, even though their marketing and advertising models simply won't retain it. That means they're going to resort to dirty tricks. That means you're going to see Fox trying to shut down Tucker. That means you're going to see CNN grasping and groping for new audience members. But they can't win this fight fairly. So what they're going to have to do is hobble and stymie the attempts of their opponents. Algorithms are going to be adjusted to shut down independent news voices. You're going to hear more talk of right-wing conspiracy theorists and smearing independent voices like this one. I absolutely believe that if you're red or blue or Republican or Democrat, you're on the wrong side. This is a time for new independent voices. You can see that in the political space. That's why there are candidates that a couple of years ago were laughing stock, like RFK, getting serious traction and serious attention, because there is a partnership between independent independent political voices and independent media voices. This is something we have to cultivate. In order to do it significantly, we're going to have to get past the oppositionism that defines the culture war. We're going to have to get beyond the agenda of the censorship industrial complex, which simply wants to shut down conversation in order to keep things exactly the same. You can't trust this voice, you can't trust that voice, that's misinformation. That's what they want to do. They want to tar us all with that brush to prevent the change that's trying to happen from happening. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the chat and the comments. We run on your opinions. We run on your comments. We run on your energy, your power, your loyalty, your viewership. If you enjoyed this video, have a look at either of these. Turn on the notification bell and subscribe. Remember, there's a link in the description to my stand-up special if you want an easy laugh about the chaos of the last 3 years. But more important than any of that is that you please stay free.
U.S. preparing evacuation plans for American citizens in Taiwan. Folks, I'm absolutely convinced the United States government knows something about China and a potential invasion of Taiwan. They're not telling us. How is this related to the Biden bribery, the indictment story? There is zero question in my mind. The Chinese Communist Party follows the news more than a lot of Americans follow the news. Why? Because they have intelligence consumers over there getting ready to pop at a moment's notice. I have zero doubt they understand that Joe Biden is corrupt, that they own Joe Biden, that the country is now divided like it's never been before. It is on the brink of serious civil issues, given that Biden has turned this place into a police state, and that China is getting ready to make a move which is going to cause a global war, world war that can spill into nuclear Armageddon like that. I have zero doubt China's watching what's going on and is ready to make a move because of this, and the government knows about it. Because of this strife, Biden's by turning us into a police state, causing this division. Now, by the way, think about it. Now the Christopher Wray delay makes all the sense in the world. Think this through. Our hack FBI director, Christopher Wray, he was, I'm not going to turn over this document that Biden got bribed. It doesn't exist. Oh, it does exist, but we'll turn this over. It does exist, but we're not going to turn that part over. Why was he delaying? Think this through. You guys know, and how does it make sense? He was buying Special Prosecutor Jack Smith in the Trump case time. There is no doubt in my mind. Time to pull Trump into the story, to indict Trump. That way it would push Biden's bribery allegations out of the headlines. Did you notice they turned over the document, Christopher Wray? Almost at the exact same time the Jack Smith Trump indictment is going to go down tomorrow came down. That is not an accident. China's watching. The deep staters are watching. Now it all makes sense. Now part three. It's a lot of people. Only 5 minutes into the show, I'm hitting you with a ton of stuff. Folks, they're setting us up again. They're setting us up. The FBI and the DOJ are, you cannot trust Christopher Wray. This is not a serious person. This is an absolute tyrant who will do anything the administration wants. And what the administration wants now is to put the boot on the neck of conservatives and MAGA supporters. They don't even care how nasty it gets civilly in the United States. They don't care. They don't care if China invades Taiwan because of what they're doing. They don't care how it looks. They're just imprisoning their political opponents right now. They're also baiting you. They are waiting for some street violence. They want it. They need it. They are using it. They are going to use it as a crackdown. So I'm begging you and imploring you, please do not get baited. We absolutely cannot trust the FBI and DOJ, and they are tickling themselves right now just waiting for some civil disturbance for a crackdown. You don't know who those people are. If they're your people, get them out. If they're provocateurs, get them out. But please do not get baited. Show up, protest as loudly, as vociferously as you can. That is your constitutional, God-given right. But please don't get baited. The writing is all over the wall. They are dying to interfere in this next election and will use any excuse to kick your ass and throw you right in a jail cell. I am sure of it. Civil liberties be damned. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show.
Welcome to an exile. I'm enjoying this beautiful summer afternoon, and I just thought I'd share with you this incredible piece. This is a really good run by Marco Rubio.
We had a lady or a man that now claims to be a lady, you know, going topless at the White House 2 days ago at a Pride celebration thing. I mean, we can do whatever we want. We can be as decadent as we want in our society and our culture.
It was a man, it was a biological man with breast implants running around topless at the White House, cheered by the crowds for the rainbow. And Marco Rubio's only saying, what is happening to America? What are you going to do? Because everything is in collapse. Everything is in decline right now.
So we can break our politics. We can take our institution and weaponize them for political purposes on both sides. You think this ends here? The next Republican president is going to be under tremendous pressure to bring charges and indict Joe Biden, his family, his crackhead son.
His crackhead son. You see, all this statecraft is how we do politics now. Now you impeach the other guy. You go after him. This is our democracy now. Because once Biden hires Garland, has Garland go after Trump to take out his opponent, you just now open it up. This is the way we vote now. And I'm all for it. The Republicans, when we get back in office, I want them going after Democrats for the smallest infraction. I want them impeached. I want them in prison. I want them prosecuted.
Whoever, the pressure is going to be extraordinary. They're going to turn us into, so we're decadent and we're in decline because we thought we could do anything we wanted with our economy. We could send our jobs and factories overseas, break our politics, break our culture, break our society. We don't need parents. We don't need neighborhood. We don't need family anymore.
Oh, he missed the most important one. We don't need God. See, all those other things are downstream from God. And he missed that one, but I'm bringing it up.
All these crazy ideas. And now reality's catching up, and it's hurting us badly. And today is, frankly, just a symptom of a much bigger problem, which we talk about here, and that is we no longer live in that world.
That world is long gone, and it's not coming back without some kind of a heart, moral, God-driven change in America. So repent, y'all. I'm Doug in exile.
President Biden and Kamala Harris ratcheting up the racial rhetoric at a Juneteenth celebration at the White House.
The past few years remind us our freedoms have been put at risk by racism that's still too powerful a force to heal the wounds of division so racism no longer tears us apart. We have to choose to be believers in a dream, doers of the world.
Let us look at the sacred freedom to vote, the freedom that generations fought, bled, and died to secure. The freedom that is under assault in states across our nation.
It seems like Joe Biden isn't even trying anymore at the whole unity thing, but his White House thinks it's a priority.
He's been very clear when he ran in 2020, it was about bringing the nation together, right, the soul of the country. That's something that's still a priority for this president. He's had multiple, you know, remarks on that particular issue.
Greg, happy Juneteenth.
Yeah, why aren't we taking that off? You know,
I have it off.
It seems like as Americans, if we don't take this seriously, it's racist.
Yeah.
So I'll be taking that entire week off. What a loser they are, that party is. A bunch of losers because they've been at this for 50 years and they're just saying it's not working. Like the more they work against racism, oddly, the worse it gets. It's funny that the rhetoric used by Democrats becomes more intense, more extreme, the better race relations are. And that's because there's a fear that removing the division will do two things. One, you'll have no need for consultants and activists and race hustlers and racialist authors. You know, you need a war, no one's going to buy your bullets. And if we stop fighting amongst ourselves, then we kind of figure out, wow, this really isn't about race. It's more about, as you say, the subway versus the Uber class. And you focus on the elites who are trying to keep us apart. The Dems need to keep these divisions fresh or else they lose their power. And that's what this is about. It would be great to unite about and agree on the continued success of the melting pot. But they are saying nothing is melting. Mm-hmm. And you have to stress the separation. So that's why you're seeing more segregation at colleges because of this tortured mentality.
Do you think the race card is working for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris?
Well, it didn't work in Georgia. If you look at Governor Kemp's reelection, right? Remember, that was where the Democrats, including Stacey Abrams and Biden himself, chased the Major League Baseball game out of the state. That infuriated a lot of people there. And there was all these lies about Jim Crow 2.0. Remember that? Then you actually fact check and like, actually, that's not what that says. DeSantis won reelection by, 61% of the vote, and has increased with African-Americans and Hispanics quite a bit. So, no, I don't think it's working, at least in the states where they want to be competitive. And I think that if you look at the most recent AP poll, showed Biden approval among black voters down to 58%. Mm. That was in May. It was at 90% earlier in the presidency.
Wow.
So what happened? I would say inflation, crime, immigration, and education, especially on school choice, COVID policies, and just feeling like kids are not being taken. They say that the government wants to basically take care of your children, whereas parents are saying, no, we want to take care of our kids. And besides, in a lot of the schools in black-dominated districts, the kids can't read and they can't write. So the parents are rising up and want something different.
You're the pollster at the table, or at least you say you're the pollster. Do you think independent white voters, when they hear the Democratic president call them racist and call the country racist, do you think that turns them off?
I don't think that that's what he's doing. I think that acknowledging that there still exists systemic racism and challenges for black and brown people in this country doesn't make it that white people are bad. It's just we're a work in progress and there's still more work to be done. And that's what they've been trying to emphasize. Their agenda for black America has had a lot of wins. We have right now the lowest black unemployment, lower than the levels when Trump was there. I know that's what you're about to come back with. The highest level of black entrepreneurship in 2016. It didn't even work. You're still talking somehow. Highest level of black entrepreneurship in 26 years. You have the investments in HBCUs, $100 billion for black small businesses.
Why are the numbers down then?
Well, the approval versus the intent to support is also very different because they're not being given another viable option. And Donald Trump did perform better with black voters than any other Republican. It looks like he's on his way to be the nominee. Mm-hmm. We'll see when his indictment trial comes and all of that. But there's something really crucial that Republicans keep doing that is a major turnoff to the black community, and that's insulting Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. So you don't take someone who's so meaningful to that community and say that she's a diversity hire.
Wait.
If she hadn't...
Can I speak for the black community for a second?
No, you really... Well,
allow me the floor. Allow me the floor.
He's 1%.
I am 0.1%.
No one's giving it
to you. No one's giving it to you.
We have Johnny go out and speak to the black community two times a week, and they do not support Kamala Harris.
No.
Okay.
But I'm speaking very broadly there.
If you have one of the highest achieving black women in the country now made it to the vice presidency, and Republicans and people who talk about her on air say she's a diversity hire, she'll only get where she was going because she slept with Willie Brown, that she's embarrassed.
She did? I didn't know that.
She slept with Willie
you
Brown?
You said that.
Is that not true?
Is that? I didn't know that.
They have not said that.
Is that how she got ahead
of politics?
No,
that's not how she got.
No, of course not.
I love it when people accuse us of spreading rumors by actually citing rumors.
Wait, so does this work with the left, too, though? Like, do they get upset when, you know, Tim Scott runs for president and the women of The View attack him horribly, or Clarence Thomas is called a traitor to his race because he happens to be one of the most successful black men in American history, and yet he is not a Democrat? I mean, I don't know if I necessarily buy that argument that if you don't like Kamala Harris, who's been widely criticized by black media, by the way, like Charlemagne the God, for example, podcaster, not impressed with her record on criminal justice reform and joking about smoking weed when she put lots of black men in jail for the very same thing. I mean, I think there's a lot of issues within her record as the Attorney General of California with that community and what she's decided
sure,
to do
but
now.
But was rallied around.
But I would say, you know, in terms of the strategy by the Biden campaign and the vice president to use Juneteenth as not a moment where they can say, wow, we had this amazing reconciliation in the country. We've moved forward together. How can we capitalize on all of the gains we've had?
Overwhelmingly in Congress.
Exactly. And yet they use it as a way to divide people to act like we haven't gone forward in this country. And the final thing is that she keeps talking about in her speech that freedom is under assault and that it's for racial purposes in states across the country. She's talking about voter integrity laws. And as you mentioned, Dana, in Georgia, they passed one. And they claimed that it would be disenfranchise black voters. Well, black turnout went through the roof. It didn't disenfranchise anybody, and it took away Stacey Abrams' top campaign talking point because it didn't turn out the way that she claimed it did. So they could use it as a way to move the ball forward for unity, but instead they have to keep taking people back.
Well, I, for one, I'm just still stunned about this Willie Brown situation. I'm going to have to research this. I might even have to do it on the 7 o'clock.
Get Jessica on.
You know I'm what? Busy this evening.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our...
All right. So, yeah, we played a couple of clips there. Joining us right now, of course, we have our Thursday co-host here. V is joining us after a little hiatus. Thank you for joining us today, V.
Thank you for coming. Thank you, everyone. Please, please take your seats.
Okay.
How the heck are you, man?
Oh, I'm all right. We have a guest in about 20 minutes.
Oh, nice. I celebrated my 7-year-old's birthday last week. A lot of people canceled because of the strange orange hue that we had hovering over New York last week. I didn't know how many of my friends had asthma or breathing trouble, but it affected their ability to come through and celebrate. They were coughing. They had itchy throats. Three of them actually had strep. It was very strange. Just everybody was miserable. But we celebrated. I had a very nice cake and nice food, and he got to play with a couple of friends that did show up. But I can't say I'm not disappointed. You know, I was expecting about 16 kids, and 3 showed up. I had goodie bags and stuff, so it was kind of a letdown. But, I mean, what can you do? He didn't care.
Well, I remember once, my 20th birthday, I tried to have my first ever birthday party because I never had a birthday party, and 0 people showed up.
No way,
and then
0?
Then my 21st birthday, I had all 4 of my wisdom teeth pulled out.
Jeez, terrible timing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that sucks. I had one party, one where a few girls showed up. Then the next one I planned, I thought it would go as well. And it was just, the thing is that the girl party was just girls. So it was like easy to get, I think, their moms and their parents on board to just kind of. But the next year I had a party and nobody showed up either. So that was kind of sucky because my mom cooked all this food and decorated. And I was like, all right. And I gave out like invitations and people said that they would come. I followed up with everybody. I mean, the best thing you could do, this was back in the 80s, like people didn't digitally RSVP. You know, you had to go based on people's word. And people had to call you on the phone if they weren't going to make it. So I know that feeling. I was younger, too. I was like 13.
Yeah, so I generally don't have birthday parties.
Don't blame you. I'm not much of a party planner. I have a friend who lives out on City Island who is, like, phenomenal at planning parties. Everything in City Island revolves around the sea and the ocean. So, I mean, these people, they'll rent a boat and have, like, everybody just bring whatever food and alcohol, and it's, like, a whole party right there. 15 to 20 people on a boat, 3 hours round trip on the Long Island Sound all the way back to the Bronx. And I'm just like, I can't pull this off. I mean, it's not like we knew that by the time my son's birthday was going to come around, New York was going to be a pale yellow sky with so-called smoke coming from Canada. You can't even predict that kind of stuff. I'm not into it. Some people just
have it. I actually bought my, for my 50th birthday, I bought my own birthday cake.
Well, that's what we have to do. Who else is going to pick the flavor we like and all the things?
Well, I asked my wife for a birthday cake. She didn't deliver. So after about a month, I got tired of asking, so I just bought it myself.
Well, that's what we, hey. You came up with a solution.
Yeah. All right. So other related news. So have you been interviewing potential immigrants to put in your house there?
No. The majority of immigrants that I run across are usually drunk. so I don't bother them. They're either in the middle of an argument or a makeout session. And, you know, it's just rude to interrupt them.
Oh, because I know Eric Adams is still trying to get people to take in immigrants. And so he started the plan of just randomly putting them in various other cities or towns.
Yeah, isn't that brilliant? Just brilliant. I don't know what to think about it. Don't be a sanctuary city.
That's all.
Right.
He could revoke his sanctuary city status at any time.
That's so true. I'm just amazed. He's like, all right, first we fill up the hotels. Now we're going to go to the churches. And then we're going to go to
the schools.
Home. Right, the school. And maybe a police precinct or academy or two. And this just, that goes to show how many people, the sheer volume. And we have a homeless situation in New York, in New York City especially, and we have a drug and alcohol problem where a lot of people don't want to go into a shelter. They much prefer to be out in the street. Those are whole other classes.
And the only ones that seem to get arrested, and I know you work in a particular department, but the only ones that seem to get arrested are the ones trying to stop crime on subways. Or Trump.
Yeah, I mean, that whole Daniel Penny thing. And he got charged, right? What was it?
Yeah.
Was he indicted yet? I know that he got arrested, but...
Yeah, he got indicted yesterday, I believe.
Was it manslaughter?
That's what they're trying to do.
That's rough.
But if the other situation happened where the guy killed Daniel Penny, that guy would be out with no charges.
That's true. He probably would have a bond. It would probably be very low, a few thousand, and somebody would pay it from the community, some activists. Yeah. I mean, we always have Kamala and all the music community to do fundraising for the next set of riots that destroy property. We can rely on them.
You know what gets me, though? And by the way, the charges in New York, a couple of those counts have been dropped for Trump. So some of the Alvin Bragg stuff is already going away.
37? That's too much.
No, that's in Miami.
Oh, okay, my bad.
But they're still trying because their goal is to just go around the country and start finding people in every blue state that are judges that are willing to arrest him for something.
Right.
And if it doesn't stick, it doesn't stick. But the thing is that if they can do a tour. And maybe they'll find a jury that will find him guilty of something. So that's the goal. So they eventually want to make this a nationwide tour.
I didn't realize that.
So next up is New Jersey. So Donald Trump is probably going to be the most charged man ever in the history of courtrooms.
Right. So now,
and I'm not even joking on that.
No, I believe you. Where's that going to put us as Americans come next year for the election? This is obviously a lot of court issues can be dragged out. They can always reschedule, postpone dates and appearances. So it could be literally dragged out up until next year.
Yeah. And then they're still trying to come up with cases just in case this one doesn't work. So they're trying to stack the deck, basically. So if they can get 400 or 500 charges across the country in maybe 22, 25 states, maybe two or three of them stick and he has to serve some jail time. And that would be enough for them to say, see, we knew Trump was a criminal.
Didn't this happen to Luna in Brazil? Was his name Luna? And he was, like, arrested by his political opponent?
I think it was the other way around. Luna wanted to arrest Bolsonaro, but Luna was arrested previously on other corruption type scandals.
Oh, right.
But it had nothing to do with those were legit scandals.
Right. I wonder if there was some retaliation. Hmm.
Yeah, but you have serial killers that don't even have this many charges.
Right.
I think offhand Trump has like 100. Trump has about 100 different charges among five states so far.
Okay. So obviously, you know, ridiculous, and a lot of those charges are not rooted or based on any actual crime. So it might as well just be a bunch of civil court lawsuits. It's so silly. I don't see him doing
the whole this whole thing with the documents at Mar-a-Lago, that's a civil case. It has nothing to do with, if he's found guilty on all counts in Miami, he'll spend over 400 years in jail, and we're going to make him serve all 400 of them.
Right. They're making all this effort for him, but there's so many criminals that have done worse. You know, you got molesters that do less time than their sentence, sadly. Very disturbing. They're setting a precedent, obviously. If they can do it to him, they can do it to the rest of us.
It's something to be very concerned about. Sad to me that Ron DeSantis, they're already talking about bringing charges up against him. Because if they can get rid of Trump, then DeSantis becomes next. Yeah, you have several states now that want to get together and have Ron DeSantis arrested in each of their states for kidnapping.
Kidnapping.
Yes, because he took buses and planes of people and brought them to their states.
Oh.
Even
I
though they wanted
that
to go there. But it was against their
right
will because the governor didn't want them.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that could be considered kidnapping. It's fascinating. Talk about stretching.
Well, yeah. But Grissom is trying to prove that he's presidential material, so if he could sue and have one of his competitors arrested, then he thinks that will put him up in the upper echelon that says, see, I don't put up with conservatives' crap. Like someone would want the governor of California, who's California has had more people leave their state than any other state, including New York. So is that what you really want? People that his best claim to fame is he's forcing people to uproot their families of maybe they've been there for decades or generational housing they have to sell or just leave behind and move to another state because they don't like their governor. That's what people are going to vote on.
Right. Pretty disturbing.
But as long as you have a D next to your name, I guess you're in the ballgame.
I didn't realize that more people left Cali than New York. I thought it was the other way around.
No.
Wow.
But how many people are in? What I will say is that he'll get at least 40% of the vote. Because he's a Democrat. And as long as he's a Democrat, then people will vote D no matter what.
Yeah, they really do. They're so loyal. I call them intransigent voters.
I just don't understand the loyalty.
No, really, I don't either.
So they're doing things now. The latest thing is there's a bill to ban dishwashers now.
Oh, I didn't know of that one. I know of the gas stove, but what's wrong with dishwashers?
Yeah, that was first. Now they're coming for dishwashers.
Why?
because they use too much water, even though And we've done dishes by hand because I don't like the poor performance of our dishwasher, and I'm tired of buying dishwashers. So
right.
It might take 12 gallons to do a normal day's worth of dishes, or 3.5 to 4 gallons in a dishwasher. But the standards now are set with you can only use so much water that people are having to use the dishwasher twice.
No.
To be compliant. And it just doesn't make sense. So
right.
It's like they want to get rid of dryers, but they don't want you hanging clothes in the backyard either.
Is that right? I didn't know that. I thought they were cool with you doing anything that didn't require electricity. So what are we supposed to wash our clothes in the rain and our dishes? Bottles? I mean,
maybe you wash clothes in a bucket like 200 years ago.
It's sad. Where's everybody's resolve? Where's that fighting spirit? Americans
but,
are so willing to fight against
everybody
one another.
Just says, well, that'll never happen. That, like I posted today on my spy book. I'm sure people are going to say that won't happen. I got rid of one comment that said I was crazy for saying that they're trying to get rid of dishwashers, even though it was discussed in the Senate today.
Right. There's no reason for them to be talking about dishwashers. They should be talking about what they can do for the American people. They've got millions of illegal immigrants running all around the country, unvetted, right? We have no idea what their criminal backgrounds are. Some of them are showing up on the terror watch list. And they're handed a cell phone, given, I guess, a card for food stamps and a temporary ID. It's wild. And now they can vote?
No, nobody said anything done lately on that. I was hoping I'd have something to share.
On what?
Oh, on the dishwashers. I'm waiting for our guest to come in here. But your best friend there in New York, Congressperson Nadler, says parents who didn't put scams on their two-year-olds during COVID need to be charged with child abuse.
Come on.
Okay.
But not parents that call their kids trans when they're not even out of elementary school.
They're not even going to elementary school, but they're trans.
Right. They like
so
to
even though
dress
the
up.
CDC even says that it's unhealthy and you have all these speech impediments with young kids, that it's child abuse if you did not abuse your kids. So I sent you the article.
Yeah, see it here. I've opened it. My gosh.
We're going to grab a timeout real quick and we'll bring our guest on.
Okay.
So if you want to have fun reading that article, have at it.
Yeah, I'm getting into it.
All right. So we'll see everybody in just a few short minutes, and Jen Kunkel will be with us on the other side.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolly, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolly, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
right. Hello again, everyone. Hour number two of the Food Negative Show is brought to you by Imperfect Foods. You could join Imperfect Foods today. The link is on our website where you can use our link and you get a few dollars off of your order. So V is here. Of course, everybody knows who I am. And I'm going to introduce you to a brand new podcaster right now. I have Jen Kunkel, and I don't know the exact name of your podcast. I was trying to do some research on it, and I know it just started, so everything's new. So let me go ahead and bring Jen into the mix here. So, Jen, welcome in. I hope you don't mind applause.
Not at all. That's great.
Because you want that applause. You don't want Nelson.
No.
You don't know Nelson?
I don't know Nelson. Oh. Oh, no. Yeah, I like the real applause. That's way better. Yeah, the name of my podcast is a little bit of a mouthful, actually. Women Rock in Midlife. Soulful Wellness to Elevate Your Second Act.
See, I thought that was just the name of your first show. I didn't know that that was that was your whole title.
Yeah, it's, well, the second part's kind of a subtitle. So Women Rock in Midlife.
Okay.
It's about wellness, wellness for midlife women, physical, mental, emotional. I get a little socio-political when it comes to some of the things that, you know, we have, some of the viewpoints that we have in common, the food industry, the pseudo foods, the ingredients that are being passed off as foods, that sort of thing.
Right. And then, well, that's one of the reasons why I like to use Imperfect Foods, because I know that the big three of the organic type grocers in Las Vegas, meaning Trader Schmoes, Sprouts, and Whole Paycheck. All three of those have no problem using Appeal. So there's a fourth location called Natural Grocers. They have one in the middle of nowhere in North Las Vegas, and they have one in Henderson. But they said that they will not be carrying produce with Appeal.
That's a good sign. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Sprouts and Whole Foods because I think they're just kind of an illusion of everything being healthy when that's not true.
Well, Whole Paycheck changed when Jeff Bezos bought it, and he said that he's going to start bringing in GMO foods because he tested it, and he says they're safe, so they're safe. Like, oh, okay, as long as the world's richest man at the time, who's now number two, as long as he says it's okay, I'll just listen to him like a dumb robot.
Yeah. Even before that, I was actually at Whole Foods one time, way before Bezos bought it, and I was in the checkout line, and a guy in front of me was asking, hey, asking the cashier if they, something to the effect of, did they carry things that have artificial ingredients in it or something like that? And she told them, no, they don't. Well, I still would read labels in Whole Foods because that wasn't true.
Yes.
And I said so. I was like, excuse me, because I was like, this guy's asking because he wants to know, and the cashier was misinforming him. So I jumped in, and she was like, well, like what? And I said, MSG, for one. You have carrageenan in products. And I can't remember if I listed off some other stuff, but they have foods in there that you can find at the regular grocery store that do have artificial ingredients in them. So her response was just, oh, it depends on what you consider artificial. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. Right.
Yeah, my favorite is when they say it has natural flavors with other natural flavors and other natural flavors.
Exactly.
But well, Natural Grocers, so to their credit, they say that they do all the label reading so you don't have to. And I've been there, and I trust the stuff that's on their shelves.
That's awesome. I actually had the idea to start a store like that before, because that's exactly what we need, is a place where you don't have to read the labels. And I have not gone to natural grocers yet, so I'm going to check them out.
You know what would be a good store to either start, or a restaurant? Do an all-keto store or an all-keto restaurant. There's an all-keto bakery out here, and they sell a few food items, and that place is packed. And I think that if someone went all out, they could make a killing.
Yeah, I think they could. Keto is very popular.
Because that will stop people from eating out, because they know that everything they want is going to have sugar in it. And why go out if you're going to have to sacrifice your diet?
Right. It's really hard. I think a lot of times eating out, most places anyway, are just using processed frozen stuff, like you said. So it's going to have some kind of sugar, maybe even high fructose corn syrup.
So Dee is our co-host. I don't want to leave her on the sidelines here. But
yeah.
Dee, I want to ask you, speaking of processed foods and all that, I cannot go to a sandwich shop or any shop in general and get a tuna sandwich. I was just talking about this with my wife yesterday.
Right.
It just seems like I will get other sandwiches, but tuna, I just think of someone opening a can, slopping some mayonnaise on it, and say, here you go.
That's right. And sometimes if you're lucky, you'll get some celery in there, diced really rough and large.
I like tuna. I just won't buy it in a store or a restaurant or anything like that.
Right. No, neither will I. But I don't know who thought to check Subway's tuna salad with a DNA checker. I don't know whose bright idea, but they ruined my life, because I used to order my tuna from there years ago. And I found out that, you know, it didn't match anything that was on the planet Earth. That's very disturbing.
Yeah, 0% tuna.
Right.
Yeah, when you brought up tuna, I was going to say, remember that whole thing with Subway and their tuna sandwiches? Oh, my gosh. I'm kind of with Proof on this, though. I don't see ordering a tuna sandwich at a restaurant.
But it could be that 3D printed stuff. It could be like, you know how they're doing 3D printed steaks. They've just started 3D printed fish. Now, they're very expensive, but I mean, the technology, we don't know where technology is right now. Everything is so like oppressed and suppressed, and kept from the public. So what's to say that they weren't digitally printing their own tuna? And that's why we don't have anything DNA genetically that matches it.
Yeah, but 30 years ago, I thought it was crazy that if you wanted a chicken breast sandwich, they only had the grill marks on one side of the chicken.
Oh, man. There's a Euro market next to my house. I just learned the other day they have a huge variety of products from Russia, Croatia, just the Balkans.
Well, we have
one
of those type of stores here.
Right, so I went there and I was like checking out their condiments, and they had like really good products. Even if it was junk food in their country, over here, they weren't made with high fructose corn syrup or any red or yellow. The stuff like it just had sugar and spices, and none of it said natural flavors. It was interesting. A lot of it was in other languages, but I have this app on my phone. I think it's Google Translate. You can just hold it up with your camera over the item and you can have it translated for you. So yeah, it was pretty cool, because my son bought a bottle of Fanta and it was blue, and we were like, what flavor is this? And it was like elderberry and a flower. I forgot what flower it was. What the hell is that? And it smelled and tasted like perfume, but it didn't have any high fructose corn syrup in it. And that was very nice.
That's really cool. You know what? You know why they probably don't have that stuff in there is because it was made in some other country, and in a lot of other countries, their rules for food ingredients are more stringent than ours.
That's right. A lot of this stuff is banned over there, overseas.
Yeah, a lot.
Crazy stuff.
Cosmetic, too.
Right, exactly. I didn't realize that. I've been a makeup artist for, let's see, about maybe 14 years. I used to work for MAC, and I worked for Benefit. I worked in Macy's. I worked in Bloomingdale's. You know, you get to know all the cosmetic companies, and everybody goes to one another's counter, and we all get all schmoozy with one another. But when I realized all these years, all of these chemicals that I was putting on my face, you know, nobody thought about that stuff. Back then, we were talking about things like, you know, color power, like what popped, what lasted long, you know, what had a good amount of time that you could wear it in the heat or the cold, what it was good for dry skin, oily skin. And we realized that our skin just soaks all of that stuff up, and all it does is make you sick. It affects your endocrine system, and it does all kinds of other stuff to your skin. Oh, besides, you need more of it to look better because it makes you look so haggard. And it's like I was so grieved about it. I was just talking about it not even just 2 days ago. I was like, lather on my face. Between primer, foundation, cream, blushes, like all of that stuff was so bad for me. And I've been lucky to find some alternatives. They don't last as long. You know, the color, the payoff is not as high, not as a good quality, but I'm not making myself sick. You know what I mean? It's a trade-off.
Yeah, exactly. I tried some of the natural stuff, too, when I found that out, because I used to be the same way. I mean, I wasn't a makeup artist. But, yeah, I used all that stuff, and it was just, oh, my gosh, when I found out how toxic some of it is, I was like, okay, I have to find something else. Tried the natural stuff, didn't last. So I actually just stopped wearing makeup, and it's nicer. It's easier, and I got used to it.
You know what's
I got
worse
used to
is,
looking natural.
Is shampoo and conditioners. A lot of that probably should not even qualify as shampoo.
I was looking at a lawsuit that OGX had for having cancer-causing ingredients in their product. OGX is the one that's all shaped like a little archway. It's like fat little bottle. Their conditioners, they smell so good. And somebody like myself, I have long, wavy hair. I need stuff that was like heavy like OGX to like get rid of all the frizz. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, all this stuff, it takes 30 seconds for it to go from your scalp into your bloodstream, 30 seconds. And you have no idea. You can't even pronounce most of these ingredients. Thank you for reminding me of that proof.
You'll be surprised, ladies. You'll be surprised what places are, like, the best place to get organic, I wouldn't say they're all organic, but much better shampoos. Burlington Coat Factory is where I got my last batch.
So actually,
TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Ross—they all carry the better stuff.
This is going to sound really weird. I have not used shampoo in probably 15 years.
I was going to say we're going to go back to vinegar rinses and olive oil and avocado mashes.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I'll do baking soda, the vinegar rinse. Most of the time, like on a daily basis, I just massage with water really well. And then every once in a while, I'll do the baking soda. I'll do the vinegar rinse. And at the first 6 months, I will tell you, was super weird and difficult. After that, it's so much better. I know it sounds crazy. Even when I'm saying it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I haven't used shampoo in 15 years.
No. Yeah. Exactly. I've been using this rice bar shampoo from some ladies in China, supposedly, who have these really, really long hair, like all of it's in their culture. And they just they soak this specific type of rice, and they mix it with a little bit of soap ingredients. Some of them are not too bad, and they make bar soap for. So I've been using bar soap for my hair, and my hair is like 3.5 feet long. It's like a lot. Right, I'm going through bars, okay? But I've used Castile soap, too, which is not too bad.
Well, I still have my long
Castile?
Pony.
What was that?
Jen or me?
What, you? What'd you say, Cruz?
Oh, I said I still have my long flowing mane.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you say, Jen? Oh, I was just clarifying. You said you used Castile soap for your hair?
Right, I have. When I
oh,
had,
okay.
like, stuff in it, like buildup or other stuff, like occasionally
yeah.
I'm weak and I'll use a little bit of leave-in cream conditioners. They're so heavy, but they get rid of the frizz. Otherwise, I look like I've been electrocuted, okay, honestly.
Have you ever tried coconut oil?
I have, and it's also very heavy, but I love it.
Yeah.
I did. I grew up
you have
with it.
To be...
That's how my mom made my hair look sleek and shiny.
Yeah. You have to be careful not to put too much, though.
Right. That was the issue. I cook with coconut oil. I use the MDT oil, MCT oil, excuse me, when I'm cooking. No, seriously, I don't. It is funny. Like, I grew up in a Puerto Rican household, but we always used vegetable and canola oil, you know, and when I learned about these oils being just so bad for you and how they're processed and stuff, I started using olive oil for everything. I fry things in olive oil. I make my rice with olive oil. And a lot of people say that it changes the taste, but I guess I'm used to it or I didn't notice it. But I can't bring myself to buy anything but olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil, or MCT oil. I just can't.
Yeah, grapeseed is supposed to be good too. But I'm like you. I use olive oil for pretty much everything.
Yeah, and I get it from Bragg's. I like their stuff.
Yeah, but now that Bragg's is owned by Katy Perry, among
yeah,
others.
Yeah, Katy Perry owns it. Right, I don't know what the quality of the product is going to be now. I don't trust that woman. Looks crazy. With a little winky eye. I'm watching her.
So how do people listen to your podcast, Jen?
So I actually literally just finished my launch on it. So it is published directly to Spotify, and just the other day I got it approved also on the Apple Podcast and Amazon Music. So really any of the platforms, the Google Podcasts okay. also. I was just double checking that one. Yeah, so any whatever your favorite platform is, it should be on there.
Well, what made you finally decide that it was time to do this? Because I know you were talking about it for a long time.
Yeah. This area, as far as working with wellness for midlife women, is a little bit new for me. It kind of brings together all of what I've been doing in the past. I've been into fitness since I was about 19, and then at about 30, I kind of was, you know, life happened, not as into it, back and forth, in and out. And I was into personal development. I was doing life coaching. I was doing business coaching. And now I've decided that I wanted to, you know, in the past few years, I wanted to take things more online. And I keep thinking, you know, having this podcast idea in the back of my head that start a podcast. And it just seemed really overwhelming, like a lot of work, you know, like I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to do it. So honestly, about 3 weeks ago, I finally just decided, all right, I'm just done having this be something in the back of my mind. I know I want to do it, so let's do it. And I announced it, and then I figured out how to get it done, you know, and it's a little messy right now still, to be honest. And it's also, it's not too bad. It's actually, the episodes came out decent and it'll just keep getting better. So really, I just got tired of having it be something in the back of my mind and I want to put it out there because if people need help with something like this, I want to be able to help them. You know, I want to be supportive of people. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's awesome.
Well, I've been doing shows since 2008, so that's 15 years now. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I feel like I've paid my dues, but I feel like I've also woken a bunch of people up over a decade and a half.
Yeah, for sure. I think I first came across you. I noticed you were involved with the Barefoot is Legal, and I didn't even know that there were people out there trying to live barefoot lifestyle and constantly running into problems about it. Like, I didn't even know that. So you woke me up to that, at least.
Well, it's just one of those freedoms that people don't realize that it's one of those things that people just never thought about, but it makes sense.
Right.
And
I mean, I didn't realize...
the more freedoms that you give up because you don't want to know anything about it, that's another freedom that you don't have and you didn't even try.
Exactly. Yeah, I think you've woken a lot of people up about a lot of things in 15 years, I'm sure.
I'll say.
So V Jen lives here in Las Vegas. We haven't met yet.
Oh, really? That's so funny. Small world.
We have mutual friends, though. Oh, we actually probably will meet. I thought I was going to be out of town for that next meetup, but that changed, so I probably will be in town. So we might be meeting in person in the next, week and a half or something like that?
Oh, I'll set it up then. I'll make a call and make that happen, because I was debating on if I wanted to do
it. Oh, I thought it was already done.
Well, no, I just have to call and confirm it, because I loosely said I was going to do it, and I just told him I'd call Friday or Saturday and make it happen.
Right on.
Well, that works, though.
Yeah, I was going to be out of town, but now that has been changed.
Are you going to the parade on Saturday, Jen?
The parade.
Yeah.
This Saturday?
Yeah.
What parade is that?
For the Golden Knights.
Oh, no. Actually, I'm going to be out of town this weekend, and so the next weekend.
Oh, so am I. Yeah, we're going to Phoenix.
Nice.
Where are you heading?
Utah. Yeah,
oh,
I like to
part?
Spend some time in the mountains in the summer.
What part of Utah?
It's up the mountain from Cedar City.
That's funny, because we almost ended up going there this weekend. And
to Duck Creek?
V said she's thinking about moving there.
Oh, really? Where are you now, V?
He's really trying to bully me into Utah. This is one of his ploys to keep shoving it down. But I was looking to go to Nevada after I retire from the NYPD. That's what I do full time.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't see it happening now. I know the property costs went up during COVID. If they come down to where I can afford it, then I'll do it.
Oh, they're going to be coming down.
I know a lot of things are going to come down. I'm just saying.
If you buy bear property with nothing on it, you can get some for relatively inexpensively.
Right, great. Then I'll just live on the grass. I'll put a tent up. That's
well,
not a bad
actually,
idea, but I was thinking
actually,
about,
if you want, it might be good to just get some shipping containers and then you just decorate the inside how you need it to be.
Oh, yeah, like the tiny houses. I've seen that. That's pretty cool.
Well,
you know, the little minor details like plumbing, electricity.
Well, you can get four decent-sized shipping containers maybe for a total of $25,000, and then you might spend $25,000 fixing them up, but then you got a 2,500-square-foot house for $50,000.
I thought about getting an RV.
I read that if you get the shipping containers around Christmas time, you can get them for cheaper because all its stuff is being shipped over. from China in the shipping containers. Yeah. So they have a surplus. On occasion, you can find a really good deal on them. There is the matter of the plumbing still, though.
Yeah, just a little minor detail, you know.
And maybe water. So, maybe water.
Maybe. Maybe a little electricity, a little zap here and there.
My brother has figured out how to create his own solar panels systems, so electricity could be covered there.
Jen, have you ever looked at Mesquite? I don't know if the prices are cheaper in Mesquite as they are in Vegas.
I have not looked at Mesquite. I actually was looking around Overton, and I was looking outside of Cedar City. That's where I saw the bare land for pretty cheap, but we're not sure if there's water on it at all. So, yeah, I don't know about Mesquite.
Yeah, Duck Creek kind of blew up over the last 10 years.
It has. My stepdad's friend has had a cabin up there for like 40 years, so he was always going up there, and I had gone up a few times. And then a few years ago, my stepdad bought some property up there. So it's my mom and my brother both take their campers up there.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a nice getaway from the heat because it does get pretty hot here. So I like to go up there as much as I can.
Yeah, we're escaping the heat, so we're going to Phoenix.
Is that really escaping the heat?
No, not really, but I've been wanting to go to a baseball game, and my favorite baseball team is the Indians, or now the Guardians, and they're playing the Diamondbacks. So
nice.
For Father's Day, I'm going to the Indians and Diamondbacks game.
Oh, that's awesome. That's right. This is Father's Day weekend.
And then we have friends to see out there, so we're going to check out. It's not the Bronx Zoo necessarily, V, but there's a Phoenix Zoo.
I'm sure it's better than the Bronx Zoo. Everything's better than the Bronx.
Yeah, it used to be the zoo. I don't know what they've done to it lately, but. Yeah, we used to have a zoo. It was kind of sad here. It was like they just put a cage here at the time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's not a zoo. It was not a zoo. Yeah.
Sorry about the one on Rancho.
Yes. I went when my nieces and nephews were younger. My mom took them, and I tagged along. Oh my gosh. It was actually. There was a gorilla or something. It was really sad, actually, because the cage that they kept it in was so small. I was like, this is actually kind of disgusting. So, yeah, a lot of reptiles and stuff. I think it closed shortly after that, and I did not have anything to do with it, though.
Yeah, it just seemed like a casino was bigger than the zoo.
Oh yeah. It was very small. Yeah. Very small. Yeah, hopefully the Phoenix Zoo is nicer than that. And happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, I don't know why St. George doesn't have a zoo though.
Where?
St. George. They should have a zoo.
Oh, boy.
I'm not just saying that. I mean, it. If you want something in this climate, but Vegas is too big, St. George is a little bit cooler than here.
Yeah, it is. It's a decent size, too.
We'll see.
I have no clue if Salt Lake City even has a zoo.
I'm not sure. My niece lives there. I could ask her. Seems like I haven't heard of that being a big thing, though.
No. All right, so what other topics do you tend to cover on your show? I was trying to give you a whole hour so that you could promote yourself.
That would be awesome. So really anything that would be affecting midlife women, so there will be some talk about things around menopause and just aging in general, but also I'm tying in things like self-love and feeling, you know, just like overcoming subconscious beliefs and the social conditioning, like especially around, you know, in our society, how beauty is tied to youth. And as we get older, then some people, you know, will look at us like we're not as attractive because we're getting older. We, just because of the social conditioning, we look at ourselves like we're not as attractive because we're getting older. Things like that, just sort of breaking through that standard, you know, way of looking at things.
What's funny, though, is that nobody expects that I'm almost 51 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, people think I'm much younger than that.
Yeah, like 49.
Nah. I was actually serious because I don't drink or smoke. I eat a ton of fruit. I live a clean life, and I just haven't let myself go, I guess. I'm afraid of people thinking I'm old, but I just have tried my best to take care of myself.
Like, you want to be healthier because you want to have a better quality of life, and you don't want to live longer but be like, you know, having all these health problems, right?
Yeah, and I'm an uncertified vitaminologist.
So you take a lot of supplements?
Yeah, well, I had my serious injury a few months ago that every doctor said that there's no way I'm not getting an amputation. And a couple months later, I'm at 100%.
Oh, well, I'm glad you didn't take what they said seriously, because
looked at it like challenge accepted.
Right. Yes. Well, that's awesome. I didn't know you had an injury.
Yeah, I had a bone infection, actually.
Wow. Well, that's great you were able to overcome that. So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, is, like, alternative health, not just blindly trusting doctors when they tell you if something is hopeless, you know.
And so I wasn't joking about being an uncertified vitaminologist. I mean, I kind of know my stuff.
No, I know. I got that. Yeah, so what did you do to overcome that?
Well, the first thing that I decided I was going to hit was I need to aerate my body and cleanse my blood. So with that, I really bulked up on nitric oxide.
Interesting.
So I drink it in powder form once or twice a day, depending on my mood. And I take collagen and hyaluronic acid, magnesium, vitamin B, vitamin D, zinc, chlorella, iodine, I make sure I take kelp, and L-lysine, actually.
Okay.
And then there's other stuff I'm not remembering right now. And I also, with that, I also reduced my sugar content to 25 carbs a day or less.
Nice. Yeah, you know what? I used to think that sugar was not that big of a deal if you were using just real sugar and it wasn't the high fructose corn syrup, but I have totally changed my tune on that.
Same.
Well, it's not bad unless you have an infection or something. The infections feed on sugar, so you don't want it.
Yeah, supposedly cancer, too.
Yeah, so you have to starve out the sugar. So I use stevia quite a bit.
Right on. Yeah. Well, gee, maybe I need to have an episode with an uncertified how do you even say that? Vitamologist. Vitaminologist on the show, yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
So mainly, I actually started this whole thing with the focus was going to be on helping women in midlife lose weight, but I've kind of expanded it because it's just this weight loss itself seems really shallow to me, and it was never really about that from my perspective. It was about, like what you said, like just being healthier so that you can live, a higher quality of life. I know a lot of people just sort of, they accept that, okay, well, I'm getting older, so I'm going to gain weight. I'm getting older, so I'm not going to be as healthy. I'm getting older, so I'm going to have to take these meds the doctor says I have to take. And so I want to have this podcast be a conversation around all of those things and just changing the belief that as you get older, you have to like act old or, not be able to do as much and your life is not as full and you're just kind of going downhill. Like that's not really what it's about. Your life can still be rich and full and you can be healthy and you can have energy and you can do cool stuff even when you're getting older. So
that bakery I was telling you about, it's over on Charleston and Rancho. I'm trying to think of the name of it real quick, but it's worth checking out, and then you'll see what I mean about how there really should be a bigger place for a keto-type restaurant or even a grocery store where you have just keto stuff.
Yeah. So are you total keto?
Not 100%, but I'm basically there.
Like all the time?
I count my carbs and I count my fiber. So I really watch that because for now, until further notice, I'm not having the real sugar for a while.
Yeah, I went with no sugar for about 3 months. Well, aside from maybe eating
Starburst Parlor, that's the name of it. Starburst Parlor.
Starburst Parlor?
Yes, and they dress in like 1950s clothes in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
What do you use for sugar? What do you use to sweeten whatever? I don't know, coffee, tea, honey, maple syrup?
You said you use stevia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and monk fruit.
I use honey. Oh, I use honey usually, which probably isn't a lot better than sugar. It depends on what your reasoning your reason is. Monk fruit. So when I did go off sugar, some of the monk fruits have maltodextrin. It's like,
yes,
that's what makes it feel like sugar. And
right.
Then I found out that actually behaves in your body exactly the same way as sugar. Like it causes the same biochemical reactions as sugar does.
Oh, I see. Because the brain thinks it's getting something sweet, so then the liver releases the insulin, right?
Yeah, it's something like that. I'm trying to remember. It wasn't even about the sweet. It was just something with the biochemistry of the molecular structure of the maltodextrin. I have a chemical engineering degree too, so not that that factors in a whole lot, but that's what I originally studied back, 30 years ago. So when I start looking at the biochemistry of stuff, I kind of remember that. Yeah, so anyway, it just behaves in your body exactly the same way. And that's only the kind with the maltodextrin, because there are different types of monk fruit that have something else that they use that doesn't do that. So you just have to check what brand you're using and what the other ingredients are.
Right.
Because what it was is this one was a monk fruit extract, so it would have just been like a little liquid, and then they put it on the maltodextrin to make it like flaky, like sugar kind of.
I will say now, I'm completely addicted to the Chobani yogurts that say zero sugar.
Oh, what do they use in them?
Stevia.
Oh, okay.
Hold on, I have one here, yeah. Let's see, so the carbs is 5 grams with no sugar, less than 1 fiber, 11 proteins, 60 calories, and they also use monk fruit.
The monk fruit itself wasn't the problem. It was the medium that they put the monk fruit extract on in this particular brand. The monk fruit by itself is fine. That's my understanding anyway.
So they have this Boston cream pie flavor I've been eating a lot of, that and strawberry cheesecake.
That sounds good. Yeah. Remember the fat-free craze like in the 90s when everything was about being fat-free?
Yeah.
And what they put in the products to make it taste good instead of fat was sugar.
Well, yeah, and that's when they were kind of experimenting with chemicals.
Yeah, right.
Because, I don't know if you know this or not, the first soda that had high fructose corn syrup was New Coke.
Oh, I did not know that.
That was the big change that they did, and people didn't like it.
Yeah. Oh, so when they said they went back to the regular formula, they didn't. Or they snuck the change in without announcing it later.
Well, they had Coke Classic, and then eventually they just merged them together and when nobody knew anything.
Right.
I guess people didn't think it was much of a taste difference between corn syrup and sugar, then that was basically the only thing that they changed.
No, I didn't know that. Interesting. Good to know, though. Wow. That's crazy. Back in like you said, they were experimenting in the 90s. Remember the potato chips with, I think it was Olestra?
Yes.
They didn't keep doing that one as far as I know.
No.
Yeah.
Is that with my injury that I had, my blood sugar went extremely high, and I don't have a history of diabetes. And for the past few weeks, I've been checking my blood sugar like crazy, and I have not taken one insulin. I don't do metformin. I have been taking berberine, though, and my blood sugars have been either slightly high or normal. They're not crazy.
Huh. Because you stopped eating the sugar?
Well, that and the vitamins.
Yeah.
So if you're up to speed on your vitamins and you watch your sugar, you don't need anything else.
Yeah. It sounds like you eat pretty healthy.
I'm not saying it's perfect, but I'm not going to have any issues.
Yeah, that's good. Especially considering what the doctor told you.
A couple of weeks ago, there's this new thing, actually, with if you say you cook some rice, which is high carbs, high sugar, you freeze it for a couple days, and then you thaw it out and reheat it, that the glycemic index stays low.
Huh.
There's something about when you freeze a carb and then reheat them.
Okay.
So, as an example, I've been eating a lot of French fries lately just to try that, because generally if fries come in a frozen bag, and then they're cooked, there's less of a glycemic index, and I'm okay.
Nice. So you're basing that on your own numbers and your reaction to it of the experiment.
Well, there's a ton of doctors talking about it on YouTube.
Interesting.
I think I showed you a couple or 3 weeks ago.
I believe you did.
That's cool. Yeah, I actually freeze rice sometimes just because I like to make it in big batches and then freeze some of it. So I've been doing that not on purpose.
Well, you got a couple minutes left here, so if you have any other topics, I'll let you figure out what you might want to discuss and then plug your show again, and hopefully you'll come back.
All right. Well, one thing is I'm not the expert in everything, so I have my things that I know well, which is the inner stuff, like the subconscious beliefs, the things around self-love and cultivating happiness, and then, you know, general fitness and, like, the basic nutrition. Mm-hmm. So my philosophy really around that, around becoming healthier, incorporating healthier habits, just in a nutshell really, is to not try to do it all at once, to do, you know, small changes over time. I'm actually reading this book, Atomic Habits, right now, which is exactly in line with my philosophy on that. So, that's the basis of how I think that people are going to make real lasting change, because you can get results with something extreme, but you're not going to necessarily, it's harder to sustain that because you're changing everything all at once. It's like being healthy is the only thing that people try to change all at once. You wouldn't try to run a marathon like by just deciding I'm going to run 26 miles next week when I've been sitting on the couch, you know, for the last 7 years or whatever. So that is, that's kind of the underlying foundation. And if you want to watch the show, it is Women Rockin' Midlife on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music for sure. And my website is wildsavvy.com. So you can access that all there.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, now that you know who we are, maybe you'll come on once a month, or maybe you might decide that you actually want to have a live show as opposed to a podcast. When do you upload your shows? Or when can people hear the newest show?
So the newest shows will be uploaded on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific.
Okay. So that's when you can hear them, is right after you upload them? Because I know when I I had another music show that I just, I quit my music show this past week. So,
you did?
Yeah. So they had me upload it on Sunday so they could play it the following Saturday.
Oh, no, I've noticed on Spotify it's pretty instantaneous. I'll have to check how quickly it loads on the other ones then. But I'll, yeah, thanks for pointing that out. See, I'm learning as I go. So,
see, here we generally run this like a real radio station.
On yours?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
no, people
yeah,
have
totally.
Their live shows and they show up at whatever set time and they do their show and you
right.
get callers, you get guests and things like that.
Right. Yeah, so mine is pre-recorded. It's not live. I'm not really prepared to do that yet. I also like to do things in batches. So if anybody, you know, if anyone that is listening feels like they would want to be a guest and it fits with the show, I'm open to, I'm open to considering people as guests.
All right, so how do they get a hold of you?
You can find me on Facebook at Jen Kunkel, on Instagram, on Jen_Kunkel, KUNKEL. You can go to the website, wildsavvy.com, and I have a contact page so that you can reach me out there, too.
Okay. See, I remember your last name because I follow baseball, and it seems like most last names have been used for something.
Yeah, I was actually impressed that you said my last name correctly because most people don't.
Well, there was a guy on the Rangers in the 1980s named Jeff Kunkel.
Oh, right on. Yeah, maybe some distant relative or something. Actually, it's funny because there are a lot more Kunkels than you would think, and there are other Jen Kunkels, hence the underscore in my Instagram. I was a little late on that one.
Hey, there's actually a Jeff Kunkel I'm looking online that's a stand-up comedian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love comedy. I'll check him out. There was a Jay Kunkel, I forget the first name, in Vegas that I got calls for sometimes because they owed money to somebody or something. So. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Was there something else? I think that was it. Yeah,
right,
so
well,
this
I'll,
is fun.
I'll
I appreciate you having me on here. I'm glad
you finally.
All right,
well, I'll see if you want to come join me in July on the show.
Okay, sounds good.
And then you can
maybe
tell
me
how great
more,
Duck Creek is.
Right? Maybe I'll be a little more polished by then, too. All right, nice
you're
to meet
good.
You,
V. Nice to meet you, too. I look forward to hearing
all
you.
Right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, thank you, Jen. I'm going to go ahead and get our top of the hour break in here and then go into a few things before V heads off to work and then our show ends.
All right. Thanks so much. You guys have a good night.
All right. You're welcome. Night. Have a good night, Jen.
Bye.
All right. We're going to grab a quick timeout here. We still got this week's Mr. Broccoli to play as well as some other odds and ends here. So we'll take a quick one and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. See you then.
The following message is
sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld, help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worsening heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello everyone, I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Everybody, welcome back for this year, hour number three. So just a heads up, I will be out Monday and Tuesday next week. You will have Daniel St. John and or Joanne Moretti filling in, I don't know which day, and then I'll be back Wednesday and Thursday. So if anyone wants to jump in, we are still here. So the number is 319-527-6208. Now, this one just came in off the Gateway Pundit. Penn State's having another issue here. Penn State professor charged with animal cruelty after being caught having sex with his dog to blow off steam. Themis Matsoukas, a 64-year-old professor of chemical engineering at Penn State, has found himself in the eye of a storm following a series of disturbing allegations. So he made a desperate statement to some rangers that showed up at his house. The Department of Conservation and Natural Resources showed up at his house to execute a search warrant because he said that, yes, he engaged in various sex acts with his dog to allegedly blow off steam. So he was charged with open lewdness, indecent exposure, sexual intercourse with an animal, cruelty to animals, and disorderly conduct. Allegedly, these activities can be traced back as early as 2014. So I don't want to get too much into the story, except, that's not cool. All right, so let me dump that. I'm not trying to keep that around here. All right, so in other news here, a spokeswoman for former President Trump suggested during a recent interview with Natural News founder and editor Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, preparing to address various issues that supporters still have with him regarding his Operation Warp Speed and in relation to the harmful effects of the COVID gene therapies. And I think it needs to be addressed because he's still out there congratulating himself on getting these gene therapies out. And he gets booed every single time by at least half the audience. And he hasn't figured it out yet that nobody wants to hear this. And he's losing that particular story to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So the only thing I could say right now about Democrats, because you are going to get, you're going to get 40% of the various public that says that they are voting Democrat no matter what. So you have to show them Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So if they're going to vote for Democrat, now, obviously, I wouldn't feel that good about it in a general election against Trump, I guess, but get Brandon out of there. I do feel confident that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not brought to you by Pfizer. So he has some good ideas. There's some other ideas that scare me. In the past, he's wanted to have people arrested for not believing in climate change. That is a huge red flag for me. But it's better than having globalists down your throat. And maybe Robert F. Kennedy has softened up. I don't know. But if we can get the globalists out of there and have a real election with Trump versus Kennedy, I would be okay with that. So speaking of gene therapies, Lady Gaga is being slammed right now because she has Pfizer sponsoring her tour. So I want to go ahead and let you guys hear some of this.
Pop idol Lady Gaga is now the face of Pfizer's migraine treatment drug, Nurtec ODC.
I know what it's like to perform through pain. If you're like me, one of the millions suffering from pain caused by migraine, Nurtec ODC may help. It's the only medication that can treat a migraine when it strikes and prevent migraine attacks. Treat and prevent all in one.
Don't take if allergic to Nurtec. Allergic reactions can occur even days after using. Most common side effects were nausea, indigestion, and stomach pain.
We're in this together. Talk to a doctor about Nurtec ODT.
In an Instagram post about the partnership, Gaga wrote, "Ever since childhood, I've dealt with migraine pain. When I tried Nurtec ODT, Rimmenpant 75 milligrams for the first time, I'll never forget wishing I'd found it sooner. That's why I'm proud to partner with Nurtec ODT. The Gaga ad included safety information about the drug, which according to Nick Lagunowicz, the global president of emerging markets at Pfizer, is already the number one prescribed migraine medicine in its class in the United States. But according to the New York Post, Pfizer reportedly recalled more than 4.2 million units of the Nurtec 75 milligram tablets on March 16, 2023, which includes expiration dates through June of 2026, because the packaging was not child-resistant and posed a poison risk.
The partnership with Pfizer has provoked backlash from fans. One Instagram follower wrote, "Keep pushing Big Pharma, keep killing your fans." One Twitter user wrote, "Gaga doing paid promo for Nurtec. The recession touches all," but other fans came to Gaga's defense, with one tweeting, "I actually think Lady Gaga partnering with Pfizer Nurtec ODT is a good thing. Migraines are a big issue affecting millions, and this collaboration has the potential to change the global landscape of at-home healthcare." So what do you think? Do you fault Lady Gaga for doing this?
I mean, she's a person who is responsible for her choices, and it's not a choice that I would make. But I do think the issue is much bigger than just Lady Gaga. The question we should be asking is why the United States is one of a very, very small minority of countries. I think New Zealand is one, and Canada has some limited allowance for direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical advertising. But most countries make it illegal. You cannot, as a pharmaceutical company, market directly to customers. And it was that way in the United States as well, in large part until the 90s, when the FDA loosened the restrictions on the ability to market directly to consumers. Their thinking was, well, why do you need to market to consumers? You go to your doctor, you can market to the physicians. They have a sense of what is medically indicated for your condition. And there was concern that exactly something like this would happen. Someone like Lady Gaga, who's enormously influential, one of the biggest pop stars in the world, who has legions of fans that she calls her little monsters, and who do follow her lead in a way that is not tailored to what their medical needs are necessarily, would be influenced to perhaps take medication that was not otherwise medically indicated. And so I think there was a bigger question here about why it is that we loosened those restrictions that the rest of the world have really good public health concerns about. And should we be worried about the fact that before those regulations were lifted, the industry spent about $2 billion marketing to consumers? That was back in 1997. That number was $10 billion by 2016. Are we being led in a more healthful direction by having this direct-to-consumer marketing? Or are companies spending this much money convincing you to take their drugs for some reason other than they're looking out for your best health?
I guess we might disagree on this. I don't think the government should come between you and, like, it's your choice if you think this is good for you and you get, I mean, this is a prescription, right? You still got to get a doctor to prescribe it for you. And if you're persuaded because Lady Gaga took it, I mean, that's on you. And maybe it's good for you. Maybe it's a breakthrough in the, I know migraines do debilitate a lot of people. And if it helps, it helps. That's on your choice. It's up to you to decide what is the right medical course of action for you. Obviously, you should consult a doctor, as you absolutely have to in this case. I'm not going to tell consenting adults what they can put in their bodies just in general, right? I mean, look, I don't think the problem with the vaccines and all of that for in terms of advertising, it was the government pushing it. That's what I object to. And in some cases, tweaking policies so that you are encouraged or that you actually had to get it in order to keep your job or in order to comply with, in order to have your kid in school,
let me,
all
let
that,
me ask
that's
you this,
what I
Robbie.
Have the issue with.
What
but
is
out
your,
there, it's your choice. It should be your choice.
Describe for me what your concerns are with government control. Like, when you push back against the size of government, the influence of government, what fundamentally is the problem, which I agree can be a real problem, with government exerting that much? Well, I don't want to answer my own question, but what is your worry about government?
They have the power of law. Like, they can ultimately, they can jail you. They have the monopoly on force. They can force you. You can't be like advertising. It's not mind control. They can't make you take. Now, if Pfizer advocates policies where you have to take this for some reason, I totally oppose those, and I don't think.
Well, these corporations lobbied for a change in the law that would allow them to do this direct consumer marketing because they know it will positively affect their bottom line with a disregard for whether or not it will positively affect the health outcomes of Americans.
But I think they ought to have the private organizations ought to have the freedom to engage in speech to say we would like you to buy our
All
product.
Right.
They can't. They shouldn't be able to force you to.
So my concern with government is that it can be captured, it can be weaponized in the ways that you described. It's incredibly powerful, and it can use that power for negative ends. The good thing about government, unlike private industry, is that at least superficially, on some level, there are democratic levers to control government. And the concern, the argument in my view should be figure out how to keep government from being captured by limiting the amount of political spending, by having shorter term limits, by having more transparency in government, and by in some way and sometimes shrinking certain agencies and growing others, and to have a dynamic process where we're constantly trying to root out what is going to be a constant effort by powerful interests to control government. Part of my argument also would be to get at the root of why some powerful interests have so much influence in government, and that is this money in government problem. So on one side, you want to limit the amount of corporate spending, but given that we have a legal system that is so permissible about outside expenditures and limitless, that you also have to get to the root of people having so much money that they are able to lobby and control government through these other means. That being said, I, as a lawyer, have been exposed to cases and some of the thinking that goes behind. I worked on a big pharmaceutical industry case, and I can't talk too much about it. But I observed legal minds that were great and mighty in other contexts. This was an issue about lobbying to doctors, not to patients. But the argument that was being made, the case that was being brought, was that the pharmaceutical industry had misrepresented the efficacy of their product and when it should be prescribed, leading to mass overprescription and a billing of the government and millions of dollars because it was reimbursing these things through Medicare and Medicaid, right?
Yes.
And so I thought that the legal mind that I was talking to, who was conservative, would say, this is government waste, this is a problem. But what I found was there was a credulity, an overconfidence in the medical profession and doctors who people thought, well, they know what's right. They wouldn't be swayed by advertising. They're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And let the company spin.
Sure.
But you have to really wrap your mind around this idea. You really think that these companies are spending dozens of billions of dollars, $10 billion, back in 2016, because they're not getting a return on their investment, because they're not influencing doctors. They're not influencing doctors to prescribe in ways that they wouldn't have if they were just following their medical advice. Now, take that once removed from doctors onto patients. And so you can say laissez-faire, it's fine, but you're saying that every individual consumer has to make a choice with billions of dollars of marketing aimed at them,
right,
and expect them just to be able to tough it out.
Well,
and not have
somebody has
at their
to
back.
Make a choice. I mean, if the choice is, I certainly think doctors will get it wrong sometimes, people will get it wrong sometimes, but somebody's making a choice. And also that the pharmaceutical companies can have very bad incentives to do everything you just described that sounds bad. Also, the government health officials can have bad judgment. The people, you know, saying, no, this is not legal, this should be legal, those people can make bad choices too. You're right to call – like, I agree with a lot of what you just said. And the issue where if the pharmaceutical company can make money because they're lobbying doctors because then it gets covered by Medicare, I mean – but that's also not like a totally laissez-faire system, right? Because that's the government subsidizing things that end up getting approved.
So then we end up having a fight over this specific case happened to be about the Medicare.
Well, right,
but the fundamental issue is the violation is the lying and the marketing.
But here's
the
fundamental issue from my standpoint. I don't want the government to stop you from taking, again, libertarian. You should be able to put whatever in your body you want to. But when something's approved, because medical care is covered, that means it's going to be subsidized through insurance. So then there are some of these, like the FDA approved recently a new drug for Alzheimer's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really expensive.
It costs like hundreds of thousands of dollars
exorbitantly expensive,
a year.
And there's serious concerns over whether it actually works. I don't think it should be illegal to take this drug. I think if you have the money to pay for it and you want to take it and you think this is, you should be able to take it.
I think that's a different issue, though, than this advertising issue. The idea that a multi-billion dollar industry should be allowed unfettered to make representations about the value of its drug to the public using popular iconic figures like Lady Gaga, who has a fandom so intense that they happily describe themselves as her little monster. Mm-hmm. Weaponizing that parasocial relationship to sell pharmaceutical drugs that have side effects and could hurt the public, I think is one of those areas that us as members of a democracy can choose to vote for candidates who pass legislation to protect us against the onslaught of a multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical industry.
But how do we know those people are actually
protecting?
I mean, but do those people have our best interest?
Because we elect them and can make these decisions democratically. And we have and done so in the past, and that's what the standard quo, the status quo was. That was the status quo was until the people that now you're on the side of defending right now in the context of this argument, the pharmaceutical industry lobbied them with money that was not our democratic money, that was not our legislative conceit, to change the rules to advantage the pharmaceutical companies.
Is several levels removed from the democratic process for who controls the government health bureaucracy, right? The people that make these decisions. And then they're captured by the very same people you're...
And how removed from the democratic process is the CEO of Pfizer?
They're both very removed from the democratic process.
No, Robbie,
with Pfizer,
there is no democratic process between you and the CEO of Pfizer.
You to buy these
zero. All right. Well, I mean, there's like...
And you can, and if it's fraudulent, you should be able
Google,
to sue them.
Google Edward Bernays in 100 years of history and the reporting of the influence of advertising. There's a reason why these things are in place. Advertising is deeply effective. It works. And so you can sit here and say, I'm so strong, I can resist the lure of advertising, but we have a multi-billion, trillion-dollar economy that's based on our inability to actually resist.
Companies that engage in fraud can and should be sued for it. I absolutely don't want any laws that protect their liability for that kind of thing. I think that's the correct remedy.
They
I'm
don't
not
need
saying there should be no
protection.
Accountability.
In the case that I was talking about, the pharmaceutical company won. Mm-hmm. On the basis that the judgment was, well, doctors know what to do. They can never be influenced by advertising, exactly what you're saying. They know the right thing
say,
to do.
I double words about that. I didn't say they can never be influenced by advertising. I'm saying that, but it's still your choice. No one is putting a gun to your head. The government shuts off the choice when you cannot have access to this product.
No one was putting a gun to those doctors' heads. They happened to take an all-expense paid trip to Hawaii and then make the decision to prescribe this statin. But, you know, hey, it was their choice, and it had nothing to do with anything. It just happened to be a really good drug. It lowered people's cholesterol. What can you do?
I was reading an interesting case the other quickly a case the other day of a of this new regulation on sesame seeds. Have you heard about this?
No.
So there was a law that was passed like very bipartisan to require labeling of products that have sesame seeds in them because people are allergic to sesame seeds. The Wall Street Journal has this great report on the result of this being that companies are adding sesame seeds to their products at record numbers because it is more costly to certify that your product does not have sesame seeds in it than it is to simply add that there are sesame seeds and put that disclosure. Isn't that funny?
Well, why not? Why do they have to add sesame seeds just to put that there's sesame seeds
so
on the label?
Because it's too expensive to disclaim that there's no, like, there's no dairy.
So
and
can't
there's
just say
no...
may include sesame seeds? Because so many labels, they may include traces of
the way the regulation is written to satisfy it.
It sounds like people should change the regulation.
I guess so. More Rising right after this.
Folks, this is serious now. These aren't political fights anymore. This is, do you want to live in tyranny or freedom fights? I get it. A lot of you say, Dan, isn't it best to stay behind and fight? No, ladies and gentlemen, that fight, unfortunately, is over. These blue states are not going to reform themselves until it gets bad enough. And it will not get bad enough until people like you leave and let liberals live in their own muck. I'm sorry. I'll give you an example. You got a guy who can't control himself and keeps, like, losing it all over the bathroom, and you keep going in and cleaning it up. And you're like, well, he's going to stop eventually. You don't want to live like a slob. And every time you go in and clean it up, he goes right back into the – why do you keep doing it? Let him live in the muck, and you go to the clean bathroom. There's nothing you can do anymore in these blue states. Nothing. You can't save them. Fox News, Marine veteran Daniel Penny involved in that carotid restraint with Jordan Neely was indicted yesterday, despite a clear case of not only self-defense for him, but others. Indicted. Find yourself in jail if you dare defend yourself against a guy who's alleged to have threatened people's lives on the subway and said, I'm not afraid to go to jail. Folks, self-defense is now criminal in blue states. You want to take that chance? You're going to get yourself killed, find yourself in jail? Don't be a martyr for these people, folks. These politicians, they'll put you in jail tomorrow. Here, Wall Street Journal, businesses are leaving too. You want to be the last one left? The great COVID business migration. Who led in business out migration? Joe, these states, they have one thing in common. This is going to be hard. So guys, take a minute. You may need to help Joe out. Businesses are leaving these states. They all have one thing in common. New York, California, Illinois, Maryland, and Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Hold on. That's hard. And they're going to these states. Florida, North Carolina, Nevada, Texas, and Tennessee. I'm just going to ask you, are you sensing a pattern amongst those New York, California, Illinois states? They're led by?
No, they're led by Democrats there.
I'll write this down to fact check later.
Okay.
Joe says Democrats, Illinois.
Yeah.
What was Democrat. It, New York, California?
New
I'm
going
to fact check that after the show. And just check Florida, Texas. Joe.
I'm pretty sure they're red, Dan.
I think you're. I'm going to sick Bill McCarthy on that later. Here's the chart, by the way. Everybody's leaving. Don't stay behind, folks. I'm going to fact check that later just to be sure. Liberals, of course, will have some excuse. They're leaving for the weather. You are. It's like 7,000 degrees down here in Florida. Leaving for the weather. Is it not? You guys came in this morning. I woke up this morning. It was like 87. And it's not even, the sun's not even out. Sure. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please. People were stunned to find out that tapes are already out there about the money changing hands to the Biden team for Biden's favors. We played them yesterday, and you don't know how many emails I got from people like, Dan, where have these tapes been? The answer is on my show, like multiple times. Here's where this thing gets super hairy. Biden is on tape talking to then-Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, okay? They are talking about getting rid of a prosecutor looking into his son, Biden's son, and the Biden operation that took money in exchange for favors, okay? Stephen McIntyre tweets this out, and this is a gem. Now you'll see why this story has gone nowhere and has gotten buried. McIntyre notes that the Ukrainian president Biden's on the phone with, which I'll play in a minute. Stay tuned. The tapes are coming. Poroshenko had an aide, Onyshenko. This aide is a lot of Shenkos. Onyshenko was getting ready to spill the beans on this corrupt deal Biden had in Ukraine. He notes it in his tweet right here, McIntyre. Oh, and he brings the receipts. Here's an article from the Kiev Post, and you'll see McIntyre links to it. Just expand that for me a little bit so I can read it better. That Onyshenko said in December, this is December right before Trump's about to take office, that he had transferred recordings, i.e. tapes, implicating Ukrainian President Poroshenko in corruption to the FBI. Oh, he did? He did? And Onyshenko sent copies of the deal that was signed by Ephraim Wernick, a trial attorney at Justice, our DOJ, section which was represented by Andrew Weissman. Oh, why? Andrew Weissman, you mean the pee-pee hoaxer? You mean Bob Mueller's bulldog investigator, his number one lieutenant? So you're telling me that Andrew Weissman, Mueller's number two guy, just so I'm clear, was aware of tapes of Joe Biden cutting an international deal to get rid of a guy investigating his bribes and nothing happened and the guy Onyshenko has the signed documents?
Yes.
That is so freaking strange, Joe. It's
yes.
almost like they appointed Weissman to work with Mueller to make sure that Mueller's only goal was to make sure that what they investigated Donald Trump. Come on, guy. No,
hush your mouth.
Hush your mouth, son. that their only goal was to make sure any evidence of the Biden bribes went away and to keep the attention on Donald Trump. It's just so strange how this evidence is in front of everybody's eyes and almost no one but these researchers are talking about it. Here's the Kiev Post article. Onyshenko releases alleged recording implicating Poroshenko and Zlochevsky in the grift. Poroshenko is the Ukrainian president on the tape I'm going to play for you, talking to Biden, and Zlochevsky is the head of Burisma, who many believe is the source, talking to the FBI. Wait, this is strange. Fugitive lawmaker? Fugitive Onyshenko? The guy who was going to tell the whole story to Weissman until he strangely disappeared and got arrested? Fugitive lawmaker Onyshenko on April 18th? Published what he claimed to be recordings implicating Poroshenko and ex-president Yanukovych's ecology minister Zlochevsky in corrupt deals. Zlochevsky, the same guy that was operating Burisma that hired Hunter Biden. So strange that he was scheduled to travel to the United States in November of 2019. And what happened? No freaking way. The jury is in. This is bananas. He was arrested in Germany before getting to come to the United States to tell the story about the Biden corruption.
Wow.
Weird. So. Onyshenko works with Poroshenko, who's the president of Ukraine, who cuts this malicious under-the-table deal with Biden to hide his bribe and fire the prosecutor. Onyshenko wants to come to the United States to tell his story. Cuts a deal with Weissman from the DOJ, pee-pee hoaxer, thinking he's cutting the deal with the Department of Justice, not realizing he's cutting a deal with a TDS-infected lunatic. And all of a sudden, he disappears and becomes a fugitive and gets arrested in Germany. Gosh, the coincidences are just bananas. And then this other thing happened. Bill Evanina, another pee-pee hoaxer in August of 2020, as he's at Climate Audit, by the way, Stephen McIntyre on Twitter. You should follow him. He notes that Evanina, pee-pee hoaxer, in the director of National Intelligence's office, stated that the tapes were Russian disinformation. There we go again, which is so convenient because Andrew Weissman, who's in on this whole thing, the Mueller bulldog, is investigating Trump for what they call Russian disinformation. It's almost like they're pulling a dipsy-doo flipperoo, the flipperoo. Back to our friend Hans Mahnke, another great one. These guys, if you want to know what's going on with Spygate and all this, you need to follow these guys, or else you're missing 90% of the story. No one does work like these guys, and I mean no one, me included. Here's Hans Mahnke. Poroshenko is a Ukrainian president whom Biden extorted. Onyshenko works for him. Right after Trump won in 2016, a Poroshenko aide, that's Onyshenko, offered to give DOJ incriminating evidence about Biden's calls with Poroshenko, which we'll play in a second. As fate would have it, the aide's info went to Andrew Weissman, who probably buried it all. And look, whoa. Hans has receipts, Joe. So strange. Yeah. Andrew Weissman's signature on a deal. Gosh, it's almost like Hans has the story and Weissman wants to make it go away. Good, so good we have a Department of Justice in this country, isn't it? The Department of Justice, yeah. So great.
Feeling good,
me too. I'm feeling good. Justice is blind, brother. Here, it gets better. If you thought this was bad, Hans notes, here's the real shocker. Shortly after Poroshenko's aide blew the whistle, Poroshenko asked Biden whether the aide was now cooperating with the FBI. Incredibly, Biden assured Poroshenko that the FBI wasn't pursuing it. How would Biden have known? Let's go back. Tape, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's just play the tape from yesterday again, one of them. Biden, again, no one questions the authenticity of these tapes, on the phone with the Ukrainian president. And I want you to pay particular attention. We played this yesterday. I'll play a new one today. But I want to set it up. Here is Biden. He's worried that Onyshenko is going to blow the whistle to the DOJ and the FBI about Biden's bribe. And he's really concerned about the money trail. Because Biden knows that he was paid, him and his family, by Ukraine into a number of shell companies, some of which went through Privat Bank. Biden is panicked that if Trump gets into office, that he's going to start doing business with Ukraine, giving them aid and start asking questions. Listen to the panic in Biden's voice as he pushes the Ukrainian president to shut the bank down before Trump gets into office. Take a listen.
I don't want Trump to get in the position where he thinks he's about to buy onto a policy where the financial system is going to collapse and he's going to be looked to pour more money into Ukraine. That's how he'll think about it before he gets sophisticated enough to know the detail.
In other words, Biden does not want Ukraine asking for more money from Trump. Doing so would cause Trump to look into the details.
Hat tip OAN for that one. So again, Poroshenko's aide, Onyshenko, this politician, is about to blow the whistle on this whole thing, and he has the tapes. Biden seems really concerned that Onyshenko is working with our fully corrupt FBI. What if I told you there was a tape of that too? No! No way. Here's Biden on tape with Poroshenko, and Poroshenko is very concerned that Onyshenko is going to spill the beans with the FBI. And Biden says, but don't worry, the FBI is all on the level, folks. Biden says, like, don't worry, winky, winky, nod, nod. We made sure that all went away with the FBI. Don't you worry. Check this out.
If it is true that FBI working with him, At least I want to know that.
No, no, they are not. I told you the FBI concluded he had nothing and they stopped. That was it. There's no reason to talk to him again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will check that and confirm that with you.
Folks, what more evidence do you need? What do you need to hear? Is anybody in the media talking about this? We just played the tape. Is anyone going to ask Joe Biden at a press conference, is that you on the tape telling Ukrainian President Poroshenko that you know that the FBI is not investigating claims his aide is making about bribes you took? Is anybody going to ask that? Because it's strange how nobody's playing these tapes but me and a handful of other conservatives out there. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please, and subscribe for free.
Mr. President, the American people, as we all know, are facing many serious, one might describe them as grave issues, some of which fall under the purview of our United States Department of Energy. Average gas prices remain well above $3 a gallon. That's a hardship on a lot of Americans. That's up 50% since President Biden took office. Average electricity prices, that's something we have to deal with every day. They have increased 14.5% since 2022. Our aging power grid remains at risk for devastating cybersecurity attacks. And while China's nuclear stockpile is growing, ours is getting older and it's getting smaller. These are weighty problems, Mr. President. You know that as well, if not better than I do. These problems cost the American people a lot of money, and they place our national security at risk. And they're all impacted by the United States Department of Energy and the policy that it creates. But instead of trying to get control over our gas prices or the national security issues that I just mentioned, President Biden's administration and his energy department, frankly, seems more concerned about Americans' basic kitchen appliances. And suddenly, dishwashers seem to be enemy number one. The Department of Energy recently announced that it would be proposing a new rule, Mr. President, to regulate the amount of water and the amount of energy used by dishwashing machines nationwide. Now, under the proposed rule, I want to describe it fairly. Under the proposed rule, dishwashers will only be able to use 3.2 gallons of water per cycle. Right now, the rule allows, though dishwashers don't use as much, but the rule allows a dishwasher to use 5 gallons of water per cycle. No person with a brain above a single-celled organism has asked for this change, Mr. President. No reasonable circumstance demands it. Instead, the Department of Energy and President Biden's administration has hearkened to the extreme climate activists who, frankly, we have learned from bitter experience, will find any reason to micromanage the lives of Americans by force, if necessary. Let me give you a case in point. Most American dishwashers already use less than 5 gallons of water that is allowed under current regulations. In fact, most American dishwashers use not 5, which is allowed, but 3.5 gallons of water per cycle. Why? Because the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, gave its, quote, Energy Star Standard seal of approval to any dishwasher that'll use 3.5 gallons or less. So even though a dishwasher can use up to 5, to get the seal of approval, which most dishwashers have and most manufacturers want, you have to use 3.5 or less. Now, despite being EPA approved, the Department of Energy's new rule will force manufacturers to abandon these efficient designs that we're already using to placate people who arbitrarily want not 3.5, but 3.2 gallons of water per cycle. And you may be thinking, Mr. President, okay, well, we will save 3 gallons per cycle. We will not. President Obama, I want to sidetrack a moment, but this is relevant. During President Obama's administration, his regulators imposed a similar restriction. The results were disastrous. His rule was adopted in 2012, some may recall, increased the price of dishwashers by $100. That's $100 in 2012 dollars. It's more today. In exchange for those higher prices, the regulation that President Obama promulgated forced Americans to buy machines that don't wash their dishes nearly as well as the older machines, and that will prove the case with this new rule that is being promulgated by the Department of Energy. Now, if you have one of these dishwashers, not the ones yet to be approved by the Department of Energy, but the ones mandated under President Obama, you know how it goes. You have to pre-wash the dishes. I mean, it defeats the whole purpose of a dishwasher. If you don't pre-wash the dishes, half the gravy's still going to be on the plate after the first run. And so that leaves families with a choice. You can run the dishwasher twice, which uses twice as much water in order to get your dishes clean, or you have to hand wash your dishes, which is going to use about 17 gallons of water. Both of these options, and once again, this is not the new rule yet. We're under President Obama's restrictive but less restrictive rule. Both of these options waste more water than the older washers. Now, the Department of Energy itself admits that 20% of families who own a dishwasher never use it. Why is that? It's not because dishwashing is fun. It's because they don't want to taste last night's jambalaya in their morning Cheerios when these weaker machines don't do their job. So now, instead of having dishwashers use enough water the first time to actually clean dishes, we're going to have even more families opting to use an average of 17 gallons of water per night to wash by hand. Let me restate this. Under President Obama's regulation, which will be made even worse by the proposed regulation by President Biden, if you wash your dishes the first time, they don't get clean. And those of you who use a dishwasher know what I'm talking about. You do save water the first round, but your dishes aren't clean. So you're forced to use the dishwasher a second time, which uses even more water, or you're forced to wash your dishes by hand, which uses three times more water. Now, you don't need to be Euclid to see that this does not add up to water savings. And it makes even less sense when you consider the savings in electricity. The Department of Energy's new rule it'll cut the amount of energy that dishwashers can use by 27%. Shoot, we'll all be for that. It'll cut the amount of electricity, energy, from 307 kilowatt hours annually to 223 kilowatt hours. That's for a standard dishwasher. The Department of Energy under President Biden says that this will help reduce, quote, carbon pollution, and it's going to save the American people money. In reality, it won't. By decreasing the amount of allowed energy use by 27% under this new proposed rule, the new rule will save 84 kilowatt hours annually. That's fewer kilowatt hours than it takes to run an LED light bulb for a year. We're not talking about serious energy savings. How much will it save the American people? Using the very generous estimates of the Department of Energy, it's going to save Americans about $17 annually every year. That's not even enough for a tank of gas under President Biden's inflation. However, once again, I'll draw a parallel to the so-called water savings. Once again, the lesser performance capacity in these energy-efficient machines is going to result in more Americans choosing to run the machine twice or to hand wash the dishes just to get the plates clean. It's important to consider the context, too, Mr. President. Louisianians, let me talk about my state. I know my state best. Just as you know, Mr. President, your wonderful state best. Louisianians are paying an extra $740 a month, not a year, a month, because of President Biden's inflation. That's almost $9,000 a year. And most of my people are not wealthy people. Let me just read you. These are not my numbers. These are the numbers compiled by President Biden's own government. Electricity is up 20%. Gas, 48%. Eggs, I know they've come down a little bit, thank God. They're still up 67%. Potato chips, 28%. Bread, 27%. Coffee, 30%. Rice, 28%. Flour's up 24%. Milk's up 20%. Ice cream's up 21%. Chicken's up 21%. Bacon. I don't want to live in a world without bacon. It's up 10%. I could keep going. I mean, the American people and my people are burning through their savings, and they're getting priced out of the housing market. But President Biden's administration seems to be obsessed with robbing our people of access to affordable appliances that actually get the job done. And I can't think of any better evidence of the fact that in too many instances, this administration has a fatal attraction to nutty ideas. I'm not against regulation. I mean, I think the world's complicated and in some cases dangerous, and if we can make it more efficient and safer for our people, we ought to do it. But you have to weigh the cost and the benefit. You have to weigh the cost and the benefit. This is what we know after doing that under this proposed new rule. The new rule is not going to save water. It's not going to save a significant amount of energy. It's not going to save the American people money. In fact, it's going to cost them money. This new policy is not going to be a win for America, but I'll tell you who it will be a win for. The People's Republic of China. China, the world's largest producer of CO2 emissions, we are reducing our CO2 emissions. China is increasing its CO2 emissions. China stands to benefit from this rule because it produces about 70% of the world's dishwashers. And China is probably going to produce 70% of the new dishwashers mandated by the Department of Energy. More business for China. The dishwasher manufacturers in China are delighted. Now, these manufacturers in China, their factories, they don't run on solar panels. They don't want to run off of wind energy. They're not powered by fairy dust or unicorn urine. Nor do the ships that have to bring the dishwashers from China to the American consumer. They all run off fossil fuels. Some of these manufacturers in China that our Department of Energy is giving business to run off coal. And look, I care about our planet, and I know you do too, Mr. President. I want clean air. I want bright water. We all do. But this new proposed rule by the Department of Energy is not going to help anything or anybody. It's only going to make the American people have to spend more money on less efficient machines. The costs dramatically outweigh the benefit. It's going to make most of them either stop using their dishwasher or use it twice, using twice as much water or energy, or frustrate them to the point that they're going to say, hey, I'll just wash the dishes by hand, using three times the amount of water. And it's not just dishwashers. If it were just dishwashers, I would chalk this up to, well, just we've got some regulators that we need to talk to and rein in. There are other things on this loony list. In the past few months, the Biden administration has proposed new regulations for electric motors, for beverage vending machines, for microwaves, for ovens, for refrigerators, for furnaces, for air conditioners, for light bulbs. Get ready. In fact, the Biden administration added more than 110 regulations since been in office on appliances and equipment during 2 years. Most of these policies, if you weigh the costs and the benefits, make no sense. Not in terms of CO2 emissions, not in terms of energy savings, not in terms of water savings, and certainly not in terms of the pocketbook of the American people. They are sops to the woke wing of the Democratic Party. Not all Democrats. I'm not going to paint with a broad brush here. Not all of them. But there are some members of the Democratic Party think that we would all be better off if we had a rule for everything. And they think that the American people are not capable of running their own lives. These new regulations will do little, if anything, to help the planet. But they do harm regular Americans. The Americans who get up every day, go to work, obey the law, pay their taxes, try to do the right thing by their children, and try to save a little money for retirement. That's who these new regulations are going to hurt. They just, all these folks want is for their dishwashers to work. They want to spend less time on dishes because they want to spend time with their families. They don't want to have to hand wash the dishes every night. That's what they bought a dishwasher for.